There we go. Matt, that was a perfect the way you brought the crucifixion in there this morning. Lord hadn't told me anything about that to bring today, but without the crucifixion, there would be no resurrection. It had to be the way that God planned it. It had to be that way. And so I thank you, Matt, for sharing that part of the events that led up to the resurrection today. And that's, as you see, I entitled the letter, our sermon today, "He Has Risen." And that's what the Word of God says, and I'm going to follow right along in Matthew. That was pretty neat to me that God led you to Matthew this morning, because we're going to stay right in Matthew and go right on with the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning. So will you pray with me as we prepare our hearts to receive what God has brought this morning? Father, I thank you this morning for your whole plan, that you had this plan of love for us planned out before you even started the earth, before you created the heaven and the earth. You had this plan to build relationships with us, and I thank you for that, Father. It is just so good to be in a love relationship with you, and to know that we can love you because you first loved us. Hallelujah. And that you loved us so much that you sent your own and one and only Son to die so that we can live eternally with you. Hallelujah. Oh, that is glorious, and I thank you. So Father, as we look at your word this morning, I just ask that you'll just reveal to our hearts how precious we are in your sight. How much you love us. How much you care for us. And Lord, that you did this one act you did to prepare us for eternity. So thank you, Lord, and have your way this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So I reckon you're already in Matthew 28, and I have actually decided to just back up to 62 of 27, because this is just an important part of the resurrection. Let's just begin to read here in Matthew. I'm in verse 62 of chapter 27 of Matthew. It says, "The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. 'Sir,' they said, 'we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been risen from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first.' 'Take a guard,' Pilate answered. 'Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how.' So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard." Thank you, Matt, for rolling the stone away this morning. Again, another important part of the resurrection story. They put the stone there in front of the tomb. They bound it with some kind of a seal and put a seal on it so that they would know if somebody tampered with it. They would know if somebody came and stole the body of Christ away. And as we read on, you'll see that some of the Jews believe to this day that that's what happened, that the body of Christ was stolen from the tomb and he didn't actually rise from the dead. So, because that's the story that they told. That's the story that they told. But we know differently, don't we? First, in chapter 28, it says, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Must have been a big stone that they rolled there in front of the tomb. But an angel of the Lord came down. God caused a violent earthquake. You know the story. Things were shaken. And the angel rolled back the stone. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow, and the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. I can't even imagine being right there on the scene and feeling the earthquake, seeing the angel come and roll the stone away, and looking in and there's no one there. He's already gone. You see, he came, and when he died, he went to the depths of hell and conquered death and took the keys away from the enemy, keys of death. And he conquered death so that we could have life, so that we could live eternally with him. Without the resurrection, we would have no hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. This one act is the act that so blesses me as a Christian, because without this, I have nothing. Without Jesus' resurrection, without his shed blood, there are so many things in this part of Matthew that are prepared for us. He did this for us, guys. And I want us to see how important this one act is for us today. In verse 5, it says, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So he had a plan to meet with his disciples, to share some time with them before he went back to be with the Father. The neat thing about this is all of the different Gospels have this story, and each one is a little bit different. Friday night, those of you who are here know how Matt went to different ones, used different some of the different Gospels as he was as taking us through the where they came into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry, the crucifixion, the death of Jesus, and it was really a good time with the Lord Friday night. For those of you who have missed it, it was an awesome time, and I'm very thankful for what you did this year. You guys just did a great job of bringing that all together for us, and I thank you for that. But while the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. So I didn't just make that up, guys. That's something that really happened. And it's really, that's what they believe today. Because the leaders in that time, that's what they told them to do. That's what they had them say. So they still believe that. And then verse 16 says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee as they were instructed, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And I noticed as I was checking all of the different Gospels that Matthew's probably the briefest in his account. It's a lot more description in some of the other Gospels. But that's not where the Lord took me today. What I want to share with you today is the importance of what this means to us today. What it means to us today as Christians to have this resurrection, to have Jesus not only crucified, the worst death that you can possibly imagine, the worst death that there was available at that time. Crucifixion was the hardest and the worst way to die, and that's the way he had his son sacrificed for us. But today I want us to know what all that means for us. His broken body was broken for our healing. Without that breaking of his body, without that torture and torment, he wouldn't have provided healing for us without that. But so, because of that, we have healing. I'm grateful for that. This week was a very tormentous week for me. It was hard because my back hurt so bad that I couldn't hardly move. And here, 3 days later, I'm feeling good again. My body healed. That's why we give you guys opportunity to come if you need prayer, if you need prayer for healing, for anything. Because God provided all of these things for us, for his people, when he went to the cross and when he came from the grave, when he went to the depths and took the keys of death. And he has authority over death now, and so do we. Thank the Lord. I was just sharing. I went with my sisters yesterday to down to West Liberty to see a couple of my aunts that I hadn't seen for a long time. And Luann said, have you seen the movie? And I don't remember what she called it. It's about a little boy that went under the ice and for 45 minutes, and his mother prayed and prayed and prayed and believed God, and he came back to life and lived with no side effects. And that's a miraculous thing. But because of her prayers, and this is something that happened in life recently, God is still raising people from the dead. And I thank him for his resurrection so that we have that power of life in us. We have that authority to conquer death, if that's something that we need to do here in our lifetime. So thank you, Lord. So I want to look at a few other scriptures here concerning the resurrection. First of all, Psalms 49 verse 15 says, but God will redeem my life from the grave. He will surely take me to himself. You know, sometimes you may think, well, what if there isn't life after death? I just go to the grave and that's the end. Well, we have scriptures to tell us that that's not going to happen, that, that God prepared a way for us, that we don't have to worry about just going to the grave and that's the end. We're just going to be dead. In John chapter 5, I actually want to go there. Now, if you would, just follow me to John chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 24 and following. John 5. I tell you the truth, it says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and now has come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge because he is Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. This is Jesus talking here. He says, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. You know, if you'll remember the story coming to the cross, Jesus asked that the cup be removed from me. But then he said, not what I want, but what you want, Father. If he'd have done what he wanted, he wouldn't have went to that cross because it was hard. That's what I would do. I mean, when you look at that kind of a death, it was the most cruel and hard death that you could ever imagine. But here again, he says, not to please myself, but to please the Father. Thank you, Lord. So we know from these verses that the grave is not the end. We're going to hear his voice when we're in the grave, and we're going to rise to be with him in the air, to be with him in glory. He's prepared a place for us. Thank you, Lord, for preparing a place for us. And then on over in John chapter 6, he says, I am the bread of life, verse 35 and following. And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and will raise him up. And I will raise him up at the last day. So Jesus is saying here that all of the children that you have given me, I'm going to keep. And I'm going to raise them up at the last day. I'm going to bring them to glory with me. Again, another verse that tells us, that promises us eternal life. And then John 11, verse 25 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. So because we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, Because we walk obediently before Him, He has prepared a way for us. He has made a way where, according to law, there was no way. If you sinned, you had to die. That was the law. The penalty for sin was death. And Jesus conquered death so that we can live. And I thank the Lord this morning for what He did for me, for what He did for you. And I want to close this morning with, I used to sing with a group here from the church, and I was looking back through it, and I found this song by David Francisco, or Don Francisco. Matt knows it well. He's alive, and I wanted to read this to you. This is looking at that final hour with Peter. It's actually Peter sharing what he was thinking and what he was going through. And I may have a little trouble getting through it because it's just so powerful. And so bear with me if I have a little trouble, but it's good stuff. And it's the title of this song is He's Alive. And I'm going to just share it with you. The gates, it starts out, the gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. You see, they were afraid of the soldiers at this time because they had already taken Jesus. And so they were worried about what was going on here. And it says, just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall, and the gate began to rattle. A voice began to call. I hurried to the window, looking down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary. So I went down to let her in, and John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said, they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away. Now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, something strange had happened there. Just what, I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, because I'd seen them crucify him and I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, says I wouldn't be the same, or it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove the shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees, and I just turned to him and cried, clung to him and cried. And he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. And then the chorus, he's alive, he's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. Because he's alive, he forgives each one of us for every sin that we've ever done. Throws him as far away as the east is from the west. We can't even see him anymore. Thank the Lord. So, go this Resurrection Sunday and celebrate that Jesus is alive, that he loves you, he cares about you, and he has prepared a place in eternity for each one of you. Glory to God. Worship team, come. If any of you has a need at all, a prayer need of any kind, come and we'd love to pray with you. If there's anybody here today who has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your life and you'd like to do that this morning, we would love to pray with you and share the love of Jesus with you in that respect. So, just as the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. So he's alive. Glory to God. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Bless you as you go in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.